there and share the message today. This is our family of five. We were born in five different countries. So next slide, please. Okay, so here's the country. Next, rotate. Okay, I was born in the country of Lebanon, where my parents were missionaries. So I was born in Beirut, Lebanon, and grew up there until I was 18 and went to the States for college. The next one is Loy Beth, was born in Vietnam, along with Ben. And so that's where, but they came to the States when Loy Beth was 10, and Ben was about 8, and grew up here in the States. So she's more American than I am. Okay, next one, our oldest son, Nathan, was born in Hong Kong during our first term overseas. Next one is our son, Andrew. He was born in the United States. All right. And then finally, our daughter, Christina, was born in China, which is where we spent most of the last 20 years of our ministry was in China. So that's where we are. That's kind of like the family of God, right? No matter where you're born, you're still one family. No matter where we were born, we're still one family. And it's the same for us here. No matter our backgrounds, where we come from, we're still one family because God is our Heavenly Father. So we're all His children. So that's kind of who we are, a little bit of our background. Loy Beth would like to say a few words of thanks, especially to you all as a church family, and then I'll share.
Thank you. It's nice that we get to be with you in person today to worship our Lord together. I just want to thank you because you have been my brother Ben's family for a long time, family of faith for a long, long time. I think even before he was married and has his own family. So I just say thank you for being there for him, to laugh at his silly jokes and to share with us in our great sorrow right now. And just say thank you for being there. And just to have a place to belong to has been a great blessing for my brother and for me to know that God is blessing him and keeping watch over him, because I have always been more than just a sister to him, because we always been together from the orphanage in Vietnam and then going to Buckner, growing up at Buckner and then leaving and going to college. You always I'm always kind of looking out after him, and he's kind of like a little son to me in some way. So losing him has been really, really hard on me, but I know that God has His special purposes that He's working out. And I know through Facebook, all this advanced technology, our family members in Vietnam, we have discovered over the past few years that we have many, many relatives in Vietnam that we have never met or know. Some I have met recently, but we're just getting to know now. And they're all ancestor worshipers. They worship, they just always pressure our family. My family is the only Christian family. So they pressure us to go and buy great things to worship at the altar, the building for the ancestors. And, you know, they're watching and they're learning that there is a God, the living God of the universe, and that we should treat one another with love and kindness now, enjoy each other, and worship the only living God who deserves our worship and honor right now. And nobody else is worthy to be worshipped like the worshipping ancestor in Vietnam. And so they see this honor and love that is shared for Ben. They're seeing that. They're sensing that. So I'm looking forward to the days when I can use this situation and just bring them on to the next level of learning about God who loves them too. So thank you so much for being there and showing your love for us.
Good. Is this on? Yes. I'm coming up here because so I can see you better. Sorry. That's not for any other reason. It's just so that I can see you all better and get a better look at your faces as I share. So today is Pentecost Sunday. And when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And earlier this week, it's interesting, before I was even asked to share here today, I came across this quote, which I thought was, after I was asked to share here, I thought, well, this is very appropriate. I should share this with everybody this morning. This is from Francis Chan. He says, "The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation, and the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, The evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. So interesting. Today, instead of thinking about the Holy Spirit, I would like us to let the Holy Spirit do His work in our hearts as we've been singing and praying. I really appreciate the songs that were chosen this morning. They really express what's in my own heart, and so I thank you for that. The question that I think we get asked, that gets asked most often by Christians, that I hear most often from Christians, is how do I know what God's will is? And, especially for big decisions like what to major in college or who to marry, what job to take, things like that. But also for daily decisions like how we spend our time, how we manage our money, how to be a good spouse or a good parent, or business decisions, how to solve problems at school or at work or in the family. That's a big one. How to solve problems. We need to know God's will. So what I'm going to talk about today is applicable both to those big decisions and also to the small decisions. For me right now, I need to know God's will. I need God's guidance related to how to help Anne and Bethany, and how long to stay, and then we're going to be traveling to Texas, and so what route to take, and when to leave, and all of these sorts of things. My parents are elderly and 94, 95 years old, and need to help them get ready to move to assisted living, and how to help them, and how to do their care, and I need to help to know about future ministry plans and things like that. These are in China and Taiwan. And so these are all things that I need God's guidance and direction in right now. Well, what about you all? What is something that you need God's guidance about right now? Each of you got a handout in your bulletin. I don't know. It's paper. Can you believe it? You guys, have you ever seen this before? Some of the young people may never have. If you have a pen, you can write it down, write your answer down here. If you don't, you can pull out your phone and take notes on there or something. But so if you have a pen, write down, what is something that you need to know God's will about right now? Go ahead and write that down, and then we're going to pray. Okay, write that down. And let's pray together. You can keep writing while I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being here today. Thank you already for the evidence of your Spirit being here. But Heavenly Father, I know we each one of us has things going on in our hearts. And so I ask you by your Holy Spirit to work in each person's heart here. Do just exactly what you need to do in each person's heart today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to be careful when we ask about God's will, because a lot of times we Christians act like pagans. What do the pagans do? The word in Chinese is swan ming. What is the word in English? The fortune telling. Fortune telling. You know, the pagans, they do a fortune telling, or they look for a sign, or they go, they throw some sticks on the ground and see what the result is, or they consult a Buddhist monk or something. Well, what do we Christians do? Very often we ask for a sign from God, right? It's how different. Sometimes it's not too different, our approach. So we need to be careful, because while God can definitely use signs, the problem is methods to substitute for a relationship with God. So we try to use a method to substitute for our relationship with God. But everything depends on our relationship with God. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So I grew up in the Middle East where people raise sheep as just the normal activity. And at night, when I was growing up, at night, everybody would bring the sheep in together from the village, one village. All the sheep would be brought together into a pen, at night where they could be protected by a few people or just left there, but they'd be protected and all in one place. And in the morning, so it's several flocks together at night. In the mornings, each shepherd would come and call to his sheep, and then the sheep would follow him out, and he would walk in front of them, not behind them, but he walks in front of them, and he sings a little song or he whistles a little, his own. Each shepherd has a different sound, has a different song, has a different whistle, and the sheep know the sound of that whistle, and they follow him along the road. I can many times I've seen the sheep following a shepherd along the road. And that's how it is with us and God, right? The closer you are to God, the clearer you're going to hear his voice. The clearer you are, you're going to be able to hear what he said, his directions. So in the New Testament, there's no place where we can find a recipe, you know, for finding God's will. But there is one place where we're given instructions on how to live so that we'll be able to, and quote, to tell what the perfect will of God is. Do you all know where that is? It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you have that on the screen. Let's, you know, in China, we tend to do things in unison. We read things together. We read the scriptures together. So let's read the scriptures together. This is verse 1 on this slide. The next slide is verse 2. So let's read this together out loud. Okay? Ready? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See that? So, what is... Okay, where do we start? Let me say this way. First of all, if you could go back one slide. Or no, sorry, go down one slide. Go down one more. Here we go. It says, therefore, and as I've heard other preachers say, you know, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, it's there for a reason, right? So it's, therefore, what is that referring to? Well, all 11 chapters before that, Romans 1 through 11. Therefore, all the things that he's talked about before that, which is basically the gospel, where he's talked about how Jesus came to earth and what that means for us. So, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's love for us, then he has the right to ask all of these other things, to say these things that he's about to share. But see, the thing is, we have to be convinced of God's love for us before anything else. If we aren't convinced that God loves us, we can't or we won't follow his guidance. Right? So we have to be convinced that that God loves us. You know, psychologists tell us that without secure attachment, this feeling of being loved, children's brains don't develop normally. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. If we're not convinced of God's love for us, our spiritual life does not develop naturally. We need to be convinced of God's love for us. So how do we become convinced? Well, maybe one way is to read Romans 1 through 11 over and over. I'm not sure. I think that would help. But, you know, I tell you what, one verse that has been particularly meaningful to me, the most meaningful to me, I think, is the next slide, Romans 8. It is in there. It's between Romans 1 and 11. Romans 8, 32. Let's read it out together. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? You know, that's a great... If God didn't spare his own son, he was willing... I'm not willing to give up... I'm sorry, I'm not willing to give up any of my children for you. I'm not. I'm just not. But God was willing to. And that is an amazing statement. If you realize how much God loves you, he was willing to give up his son, let his son suffer and die on the cross and be resurrected, but go through everything that he went through because he loved you that much. How will he not? It's not just that. A lot of times we forget that if God loves us that much, how will he not also, with Jesus, graciously give us all things, everything that we need, all the guidance? He's willing to guide us. He's willing to help us. So this, write that verse down here, huh, on your paper here, in view of God's mercy. Write it down, Romans 8:32. Write it down there and memorize it. That will help you a great deal because you were going to go through tough times. And you're going to question and wonder, does God really love me? Because if he loved me, why would he allow this painful experience to happen? But if you remember this verse, it will help you a great deal. So you need to memorize it. You need to have it ready on the top of your mind. So I'm telling you, I've experienced this myself. So this verse has been a great help to me. So let me urge you, write it down if you've got a pen or pencil. If not, type it into your phone. And bring it up. Let it pop up every morning as your alarm clock or something. You know, remind yourself constantly of how much God loves you. So And you need to ask the Holy Spirit to drive this into your heart. This is the Holy Spirit's work. We can't just because we... It takes a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to feel God's love for you. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit to make this real in your own heart. So love is the highway to finding God's will, but each of us have to find our own lane, you know, a specific route that God has for us. So what is the next thing he says? Okay, next line. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to do what? Let's read it together. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I'm going to focus on that phrase, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's hard to surrender. Talking about living sacrifice, the problem with, as you've probably heard before, the problem with living sacrifice is that they tend to crawl off the altar. You know, they don't want to stay there. It's hard to surrender. And especially hard when God doesn't immediately rescue you from a difficult situation or send a flash from heaven telling you what to do, and you've just got to wait and wait and wait and go through a lot of difficult times. I mean, think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He went through a very painful experience, and God didn't show up and rescue him, but it was God's will for him to go through that. And a lot of times it's the same with us. It's God's will for us to go through some difficult circumstances because he has something on the other side of them that he wants us to learn. But it requires surrendering our bodies. It's interesting. Our bodies, what we do with our bodies has a physical component, has physical ramifications to it. Let me give you some examples. Like for husbands, those of us who are husbands, we need to sit down and listen to our wives talk. We need to ask them questions, look them in the eye with our eyes, and listen with our ears, and listen to what our wives have to say. You have to listen with your heart, but you listen with your ears too. Maybe you need to, make your wife, I don't know, coffee in the morning. Maybe you need to give her a foot rub at night. I can see the wives. Yeah, that sounds good. So, there are some things that you need to do to physically express your care and concern for your wife. For wives, it's the same way. Wives, you need to pray for your husbands. You need to have set aside time to pray for your husbands. You need to give yourselves to them. You need to control the sound of your voice. We're talking about, a lot of times it's mentioned in the Bible. This is not just me talking. You know, we need to control the sound of our voices, husbands and wives, both. Parents, we need to, maybe for your parents of young children, if your children disobey you, you need to get up and discipline the first time they disobey. What most parents do, most parents are too lazy to get up and discipline. They just yell louder. And that doesn't work. That just makes you angrier, and it breaks the relationship between you and your kids. You just need to get up and discipline the first time they disobey. But that involves your body. You've got to get up. Maybe you need to sit on the floor and play with them. You need to just sit down on the floor and play with them. That involves your body. You need to talk to and listen to your kids. Not talk to them, but listen to them. Go to their games. Spend time with them. Make time with them. They're just all kinds of things. Help them with their homework. Let's see, what else have I written down here? Anyway, all of these involve using your body. You have to change what you normally do in order to do God's will. All these things are God's will. All these things I've mentioned for you are God's will. These are good things that God wants you to do. You have to physically show up. Move your body. Do something different from what you've done before. And The problem is, see, God's will, doing God's will, always involves changing what you're currently doing. And that's really difficult. That's really hard to do. But if you don't, then you're never going to know what God's will for you. So I got to ask you, are you willing to do that? To physically change what you normally do? Your habits? If not, you're never going to know what God's will for you is. And it's always painful, but you'll be much happier if you go through the pain. You see, they're basically, there's no option without pain, but you basically get to choose, generally speaking, you get to choose the kind of pain that you experience. There's either good pain or there's bad pain. Good pain, let me give you some examples. So, for example, the good pain is the pain of self-discipline, like getting up early in the morning to exercise or to say no to certain foods, and all this kind of stuff. I'm talking to myself here, by the way. I need this sermon as much as anybody. So, but that's the good pain of self-discipline. If you don't accept that pain, what are you going to experience? You're going to experience the bad pain of poor health. You're going to get sick. You're going to get diabetes. You're going to get heart disease. You're going to have all these problems. And let me tell you, the bad pain is way worse than the good pain. It's much more painful. And in fact, that's the case with all of these. I'm going to give you a couple more examples. For example, a good pain would be learning to hold your tongue and not pleasing yourself and just spewing out everything you want to say, but holding your tongue, being quiet when you don't, sometimes putting other people in front of yourself. If you don't, that's good, that's painful, but that's hard, that's a good pain. If you don't do that, what's the bad pain going to be? You're going to end up with miserable relationships. And that's way worse than the good pain of disciplining your own tongue. Another one might be, the pain of hard work, the discipline of hard work. You work hard, it's going to be painful. But if you don't do that, you're going to fail at whatever you do, at your job or whatever. And that's going to be way more painful than the pain of the hard work. So what it comes to, there are great things that are prepared for each one of us. God has great things prepared for us, but only on the other side of pain. Just let me urge you, choose the good pain and not the bad pain. So write on your handout, there's a space on your handout sheet, what good pain will you start accepting? What physical change are you willing to make in your life? And ask the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to follow through on that day after day. Because it's not just for today, and it's not just for tomorrow or Tuesday and Wednesday. It's not just for this week. It's got to be ongoing. So think about that. What are you willing to change and keep changed in order to follow God's will, in order to hear God's leading? We'll talk about some more things here, but that's the first thing you have to understand is you have to be willing to make some physical changes in your own life in order to know what God's will is. Okay, the next thing he says here, Paul says, so offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. The next thing he says is, do not be conformed, that means molded by pressure, to the pattern of this world. You know, this world, there is lots of pressure from the world. And you have to learn to say no to some things. We need to learn to discipline our will, to form the will. Again, psychologists, children have to learn that they don't run the house. And then they can learn to exert their will for good. In other words, they have to learn the meaning of the word no. First, they have to understand that there are some things they're being said no to. Then they can learn to say no to themselves. And when they learn to exercise, it's really important. This is a terribly important part of growing up, is learning to discipline yourself, to exert your own will and relate it to yourself. You have to learn to deny yourself some things in order to be healthy and to function well. So we have to learn to say no to some things that are not God's will for us in order to be healthy and to function well as Christians. So what are some of the lies that the world tells us all the time? Here are some of them. One of them is the world always says you have to depend on yourself. Whereas God's truth is, God is the only one you can depend on. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not wise enough. And neither are the people around you. The only one you can really depend on is God. He is strong enough and he is wise enough. Another thing the world tells us all the time is, you'll be fulfilled if you follow your heart, your dreams, your passion, that sort of thing. And that is true in the right context. God's truth is that God created you and he has a plan for your life. And when you find his plan for your life, then you're going to be fulfilled. It's not necessarily just because, you know, you have some idea in your own head. We need to find out what God has for you. Another lie that the world's telling us all the time of pressure is that your value depends on your performance and what other people think of you. Those two things together. You perform well, and what other people think of you. You do those two things really well, then you're a valuable person. And that is not true. The truth is that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. You're so valuable to him that he died for you. He loves you so much. He died to give you new life. So let's be careful what we read, what we watch, what we listen to, who we listen to, especially who we listen to in this day and age. So what does the world think is important? The world thinks looking good, as Rick Warren says, looking good, feeling good, and having the goods. passion, possessions, position, these kind of things, pleasure and salary and status and having things. But what does the Bible say about that? Let's go to the next slide, and let's read this together, okay? For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Did you catch that? Whoever does the will of God. And so, but what is not the will of God? Well, the lust of the flesh, pleasure. The lust of the eyes, you know, having lots of stuff and showing it off to other people. The pride of life, you know, your status, your position, your, you know, how you look to other people in the world. All of these things are come from the world, not from God. And so the problem is a lot of people are not finding God's will because they're following somebody else's will. Their own will, or their parents' will, or their boss's will, or somebody else they respect, they follow on YouTube, right? People are following. Be careful who you listen to, because they will lead you down the wrong road. And so it's really, really important to be careful about that. So, okay, it's often like a, we're about to finish this, but like it's like a so, okay, I'm going to use an analogy here. I have teenage kids. So it's like a teenager listening to the bad advice from their teenage friends instead of good advice from their parents. Right? A lot of times now, I realize that not all teenagers give bad advice to their friends. Some teenage friends give good advice. But for the sake of the analogy, let me just say that a lot of times advice you get from teenage friends is not very healthy, whereas the advice you get from your parents can be good advice, usually is good advice. So, but what about us? We do the same. So a lot of times parents complain about that. A lot of times parents complain about how our kids are listening to their friends and they don't listen to us anymore. But we're doing the same thing. We're listening to our friends, our peers in the world, instead of listening to our Heavenly Father, who knows what's really good for us. You see? So you get the analogy? So what about you? What are some things you need to say no to? What is something that you hear? Write that down on the sheet here. What is something you need to stop doing to protect yourself from the world's thinking? You know, is it a TV show? Is it a game? Is it just time on the phone in general, social media? What is it that you need to stop doing to protect yourself so that you can... You know, so many times our minds are so full of other voices that we never hear God's voice. What do you need to say no to? What voices do you need to blank out so that you can start hearing God's voice better? It's like there's all these other sheep baaing around us, and we can't hear the shepherd's voice anymore. So let's get rid of some of those other sheep around us and start listening better to God's voice. And ask the Holy Spirit to satisfy your heart so that you can break these addictions, because they are addictions. Ask the Holy Spirit to satisfy your heart so that whatever it is that's getting your attention these days no longer has that grip on your heart. Yeah? That's the only thing that's going to break it, is when you're satisfied in God. But He has to do it in your heart. But yeah, there's something you can know right now what some of those things are, and start saying no to them, and He will, if you're willing, He will give you the ability to stop those things. He will. He really will. Okay, and the third thing He says is, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Let's read it together. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, so our minds have to be trained. As it says in 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself for godliness. It takes training. So it's not like it happens all at once. It takes training. It takes time, over time. But how do you do that? We need to learn the ways of God. And very quickly here, you know, this is one of the important reasons to read Scripture. To become familiar with God's way of thinking. Then you'll automatically know what His will is when you come bump up against some kind of circumstance, because you know the way God thinks. So, are you giving God a chance to teach you His ways right now? What do you need to start doing? What do you need to start reading or listening to or watching and participating in to learn the ways of God? Especially through Scripture. What are you reading right now? Who are you learning with? I'm an introvert, and I realize introverts, it's easy to have quiet time, relatively speaking. I mean, it's never easy, but it's easy to be by ourselves and sit quietly and read scripture or listen to scripture or do something like that. But I have learned, you know what? Introverts need time with other people too, and studying the scripture with other people. We need small group time. And extroverts. So extroverts, they love to go to small groups because they're interacting all the time. But you know what? I've learned extroverts need quiet time, alone with God, to get quiet in front of God so they can quiet their own thoughts. Isn't that interesting? So what do you need to do in order to start hearing the voice of God more clearly? What are some things you need to do? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and write down on your handout, you've got to hear, what is something that you can start doing to listen to God better. Let me recommend a couple of things. You know, if you're in this electronic age, there's the U-Bible on your phone. If you haven't discovered it, I highly recommend it. It's really good. They have all kinds of devotional plans, reading plans, some 3 days long, some 5 days. Some they have year-long plans. They have all kinds of Bible reading plans. They have all kinds of devotionals. Some of them are you read. For people who like to read, some of them are auditory. If you like to listen, you listen to them. Some are audio. Some are in video format. There are lots of good options there. And there's one especially called the Bible Project. Have you heard of that? The Bible Project have these short videos, like 5 to 10 minute long videos, that walk you through the entire Bible, well, a little piece at a time. They are excellent. They're done by young people, very hip. And but very accurate. You know, nobody uses the word hip anymore. I know my kids back there. You know, goodness, my dad's. They are very cool. These are good guys, and they're accurate. They're biblical. They're scriptural, and they get to the point. They get to the heart of the matter very quickly, and they're really good. So I encourage you to look them up. Look up the Bible Project. They're also on YouTube. The Bible Project. You can look it up. The Bible Project videos. Like just in the search, type up the Bible Project videos. In order or something like that. And there's, I don't know, maybe 100 of them. I don't know, but they're very short, brief, but they're really good. So let me encourage you to soak in God's word that way. And but not only that way, but participate and also in the groups here, Bible study groups here at church, and you have many opportunities here. So do those things. But it's like learning to hear someone's voice. I mean, a few months ago, Loy Beth left her cell phone at home and went out, but I know who she was with, so I called that other person. And I guess the person saw the number on there and handed the phone to Loy Beth. So Loy Beth answered. She just said, "Hey." But I knew immediately who it was because I know her voice. It was a single syllable, but I knew her voice. So what about you? I mean, how well do you know God's voice? Well, would you recognize it if he just said, "Hey"? Let me encourage you to keep reading your Bible, even if you feel like you're getting nothing out of it. You know, a lot of people get discouraged and quit because you feel like you're not getting anything out of it. But you know what? At the very least, you're getting to know God's voice. And that will help you in the future as you run up into things. So, write it down. What is something you need to do? What is something you can do to help God, to help yourself hear God's voice better? So, to summarize, Paul says, next slide. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So let me urge you, like Paul urges us, let me urge you, ask God to show himself to you. I mean, to show you that he's real and he loves you. And surrender your body to him today. That means changing something. It means accepting some good pain, some bad pain. Excuse me, accepting some good pain. So let me ask you, are you willing to change what you do, physically, what you do each day? Choose the good pain so you don't have to experience the bad pain, okay? Number two, do not be conformed to the world. What do you need to stop doing? Who do you need to stop listening to so that you can hear God better? Think about that and decide what you're going to do. Make a change starting today. And then be transformed by the renewing of the mind. What do you need to start doing? Not only what do you need to stop doing, but what do you need to start doing in order to learn the ways of God better? And who are you going to do it with? So surrender your body to him. Ask him what you need to let go of, what you need to say no to, And decide what you will do today and tomorrow to learn His ways. And ask Him, what's the first small step? Just choose one. Just choose one small step to change. Now, let me be careful here. This is not to get God's approval. This is not to get God to make you, to try to get God to make Him like you better. He already loves you completely. You can't do anything to make God like you any more than He already does. But this is for your own benefit. So this is to help you grow for your own benefit, for your own growth. So as we celebrate this Pentecost Sunday, let's make this personal. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us the ability to do these things, because otherwise we won't have the ability to do it. Now, I do need to say, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, then you'll never know God's will for your life. And what God's will for you is right now is for you to get to know Him and to become His child. And that means you need to recognize there is a God. There is one true God, and you have turned your back on Him. You've rebelled against Him. You've decided you want to go your own way. Your heart is dead, and God wants to give you a new heart. And He can do that, but He can do that because Jesus came and He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our rebellion. And then He rose again to give us new life. And He'll switch out your heart. It's like, I mean, my brother has had an open heart surgery. He had somebody else's heart in him. Somebody else had to die. It's a good analogy. Somebody else. Well, the same thing happened. Our hearts are already, without God, our hearts are dead. But when we become Christians, what happens is that God takes our dead hearts, all our sin, our yuck, our nasty, our horror, our blackness, our death, and put it on Jesus. And He takes Jesus' life and His purity and His righteousness and puts them on us. And there's this wonderful exchange that takes place. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And if you're not a believer here today, you can have that new life today, and God will give you a new heart. And so please come and talk to me after the service. I'll be happy to walk with you through that. If you're not a believer, you're kind of like a cell phone that's dead, you know, no battery. You're like a cell phone without a battery. That's your situation. If you are a believer, you're like a cell phone with a battery already. You're alive, you're on, your power's on. But the things that we talked about today are like ways to help give you a better antenna. You know, the signal is already really strong, but how well are you receiving it? So this will give you a better antenna. Maybe your antenna is rusty. You know, it doesn't work too well. But if we do these things, if you change what you do, if you submit yourself to God, if you stop doing some things that prevent the signal from getting through, start doing some good things, then these will help you. Okay, I'm going to finish by saying one last thing. You know, there was this couple that we knew in China before we left in China. Both of them were divorced, had been divorced before they became Christians, but divorced for many years. And they became Christians in the intervening time. They met after knowing each other for a short time. They were interested in each other. They prayed about it. They thought, you know, this could be a good match. We could really help each other out. We could be good for each other. They asked God if it was His will, and they got married. I'm not sure they really explored whether it was God's will or not. They didn't talk about it with other Christians, but they were willing. They were willing to follow God's leadership. At least they think they were, and they got married. Well, a few months later, their relationship started to deteriorate, and it got worse and worse. And they came to us. We tried to help them work through their marriage problems, but they were not willing to do any of the things we talked about. They're not willing to change what they physically did, you know, each day. They were not willing to change the way they talked to each other. They were not willing to, you know, like the husband wasn't willing to start giving his wife gifts, which I urged him to do. The wife was not willing to change her habits, her physical habits, you know, her way of thinking about doing certain things. They were unwilling to stop thinking like the world thinks. The husband thought that, you know, the wife should obey him. You know, he was like the king of the castle, king of the castle. The wife thought that she was smarter and better than her husband. She had a higher degree than he had. And they were not willing to change their ways of thinking. They used the world's way of thinking to approach their situation rather than using God's way of thinking to approach the situation. They were not willing to renew their minds, to listen to God's, to have their minds transformed by God's word. Before they got married, they had both been regular in devotions. They quit having devotions. They didn't want to take the scripture verses that we shared with them. and apply them to their own lives. They're unwilling to do that. It was really sad. And there was it was a very extremely painful situation. And they eventually, less than a year later, they divorced. And there were a lot of tears shed. It was very embarrassing for them. And it was just horrible. And so they were asking me, was it not God's will for us to get married? How come God didn't stop us from getting married? And so the answer was not that they had not sought God's will before they got married. They had. They had sought God's will before they got married. The problem was they weren't willing to continue following God's will after they got married. Right? And that's the problem with most of us. A lot of times we'll ask God for the big things, but then we don't continue to follow God's will in our daily lives. You see, but if you follow God's will in your for the daily decisions, when it comes time for the big decisions, it's going to be a lot clearer because you're closer to the shepherd. You know, the sheep that's closest to the shepherd is the least likely to get lost. All right? So let's be those kind of sheep that follow closely after our shepherd. I don't know where you are. I don't know if you're close to him right now. I don't know if you're somewhere in the middle of the pack. Maybe you're an outstraggler out there somewhere. But let's change. Let's get wherever we are, let's get closer to him starting today. Okay? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I don't know what you're doing in each heart here, but you know completely what you're doing in each person's heart here today. And I know that you love each person here, and you desperately want them to experience the full and the rich life that you have for them. The Heavenly Father, please show each one of us how much you love us. Help us to feel your love for us. I know that's the first step. I know that each one of us needs to experience that. Every single one of us needs to experience that at a deeper level than we already have. And so I really pray that first and foremost. Just by your Holy Spirit, help us to experience your love for us. Directly from you, through Scripture, through other people, in whatever ways you choose to use. Heavenly Father, I'd also ask you to please give us clear steps to take beginning now, today. Help us know what changes we need to make so that we can get closer to you. Not to get your approval, but for our own benefit, so we can hear your voice more clearly, we can experience a deeper relationship with you and experience that richer and deeper, that more blessed life that you have for us. Not necessarily less painful life, but a more blessed life. Heavenly Father, help us to know clearly what things we need to stop doing. Give us the courage to stop doing them. Give us the willpower to stop doing them. And then give us wisdom also to know what things we need to start doing. Give us the willpower to start doing them. And give us the friends to do them with so that we have that encouragement and that group where we can get energy from each other. Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us strength for all of this week. Heavenly Father, I know your Holy Spirit is here. I ask you to just continue to work in every single person's heart here today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and throughout the week so that these good habits get established. Heavenly Father, we really want to know your will for the small things and for the big things. To satisfy our own hearts, yes. But for our own good, yes. But not just for those, for the good of those around us too, for our family, our friends, our co-workers, for the good of our co-workers at work, for the good of the church, for the good of society around us. There's so many benefits, so many blessings that we're missing out on because we're not following you closely enough. So Heavenly Father, for the good of all of these things, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your reputation, for the sake of your glory, please help us and give us clear steps to take, and then give us the energy, the ability to take those steps. Heavenly Father, please be with each person here as we continue to talk here and be together this morning, and as we leave here today and go to our homes, go different ways, just continue to make your Spirit felt by each one of us. Continue to guide us and wrap us up in your arms. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.